Welcome. Today I will be interviewing Ian Gortz. He is the program editor for Canada's NATO at the NATO Association of Canada. Ian recently completed his master's in intelligence and strategic studies at a university in Wales. Prior to this, he completed his BA in political science at McMaster University. Ian wrote his dissertation on the role of technological innovation and the intelligence community. His research interests are intelligence and strategic studies, emerging security, international relations of technology, and the internet. Welcome, Ian. Thank you so much for joining us again today. I'd like to begin by asking you the following questions. Your dissertation, Technological Innovation and Intelligence, a Past, Present, and Future Examination of the Intelligence Community and its Adaptation to Rapid Technological Change Throughout the 20th and 21st Centuries, examined and identified signals intelligence in World War II, the U-2 spy plane, and the Corona satellite program signposts in the development of the shaping of the intelligence community. Ian, your dissertation mentioned that Ralph Bennett argued in his book Intelligence Investigations how ultra changes history, that innovations in radio and intelligence on the scale that existed between the 1940s and 1945 transformed the way knowledge about the enemy was used in conflict. Signal intelligence was also referred to as magic and ultra. Please discuss the impact of certain innovations in transforming the way knowledge about the enemy was used in conflict at that time.
Right, so the magic and ultra programs were the signals intelligence programs utilized by the United States and the UK. And sort of one of the best quotes that I saw during my research was that in World War II, you had the invention of sophisticated radio technology, and it allowed for these mechanized giant units of armored vehicles or aircrafts to go much further distances than they could in the past. And the downside for that was that, and the quote that I was alluding to said that it was a little bit like using a loudspeaker. You could talk to your troops really far away, but pretty much anyone else who had the right frequency could also listen into what you were saying. So it really, really changed the way that signals intelligence was used in that conflict, because there was a lot more availability of information. It was a lot more important to communicate with forces that were further away, but it meant that in doing so, you could potentially be letting out information to the enemy as well.
You mentioned that while the role of technology has always been evident in international affairs, the intelligence community has existed as the spearhead of innovation. Please discuss the significance and the impact of the intelligence community in advancing technology.
So I think there's a common link between the intelligence community and the military community as a whole, in that oftentimes technology is advanced through conflict or through military application. One of the best examples, an example that I go in quite a lot of detail into, is the internet. It started out as a military application in order to, exchange information, and now I don't think we could imagine the world today without the internet. So I think it's the military and intelligence have always been first adapters to new technologies, because they've required them in order to stay ahead of the enemy, or at least that's the perception that they have. And so I think this will continue to be the case going forward. And I think in some of the examples I've used, for example, drone technology and mass data collection, I think are two great examples of, again, the intelligence community, but also the military community adapting very early to new ways of thinking, new ways of using technology that didn't exist previously in the past.
In addition, your dissertation examined how technological innovation has challenged the notions of information, intelligence, and disrupted the process of creating a product for decision makers. Ian, what would you say are some of the issues, benefits, and challenges associated with modern technological innovation?
Right. So I think the main issue, benefit, and challenge kind of across the board is speed. When it comes to modern technological innovation, we've continuously and rapidly sped up the process of intelligence. Access to information, access to analytics, being able to turn information into a product and then putting it back out there so that decision makers can make informed decisions. And so I think that's one of the great benefits. But in terms of challenges as well, it's led to issues of inaccuracies, the inability to find certain details because we're moving so quickly. Information that you have yesterday might be obsolete tomorrow, and because of that, it can compromise the product. The product being information or intelligence for decision makers. So I think really it sort of boils down to that one thing, and that's sort of what I tried to get across in my dissertation, was that the speed of everything has changed with technological innovation, and it has some very, very good aspects to it, but it has some challenges as well.
What would you say are some of the issues pertaining to how information and intelligence is acquired and processed?
So this is a really big question,
right?
And I think there's sort of two ways to approach this. The first one is to look at, well, how has technology changed the way that we acquire and process information? I think part of that is with everything being online and the influence of communications technologies that exist today, as well as technologies like drones and the availability of information, technology has really changed how much information we have access to. It's created an environment where the intelligence community really looks to create a persistent presence. And whether that is, you know, a drone flying above a city constantly taking pictures, or whether that's an algorithm on a computer that can read everyone's email, it's really changed how, in the past, you know, the glory days of World War II or the Cold War, it was more focused on, or there was a lot of focus on agents or people, you know, turning assets and that kind of thing. Whereas today, it's more about what can you get off someone's cell phone, or what can you get off someone's email, or what pictures can you take from the sky? So I think that's the first thing. And the second thing is the human element has had difficulties in keeping up with the rate of information that we now get from technology. So analysts are struggling to keep up with multitudes of data that comes in. We use algorithms to try and sort through things and find keywords, but they're not always perfect. And so there's this sort of two-scale system. There's the technology side, which has had all these kinds of issues in how we collect and how much and where and what's going on. And the human side of, well, now I have all this information, what do I do with it? And where do I look to find the truly important details that will outline things that can, you know, stop a terrorist attack, or, you know, find out there's a mole somewhere, or, you know, all these kinds of things that we think that our intelligence services are doing.
Your dissertation argues that the intelligence community acts differently today than decades ago, largely due to technological innovation. Please provide an overview of some of the most significant changes that have taken place.
Two of the two technologies that I talk about in my dissertation the most are drones and mass data collection, at least talking in the 21st century context. And I think that both of those have dramatically changed the way that the intelligence community acts, because it's a larger focus on having a persistent presence. And that's good, and it's bad. As a whole, it's just changed the way that they act. They could not exist in a space for 24-hour days, 365 days a year in the past. It wasn't possible, especially in certain places like now where, for example, Syria or Iraq or Afghanistan, it's difficult to know where to look and what to look for. And in the past, you needed people to do that. You didn't have technology to be able to do that for you. Now, you have the capability to have a drone flying overhead 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, to constantly pull in information. You have the ability to intercept communications. Communications is so important, especially now with intelligence services who are, you know, trying to counteract these global entities, things like terrorist groups, things like foreign governments that exist in multiple places at multiple times. Communications is so important to keeping them in track, but it's also important to stopping what they're doing. And so I think that those two technologies are great examples of things that in just the last 20 years or so, probably even less, in the last 15 years, have radically changed the way that the intelligence community acts. It's less a focus on agents in the field and people, and more a focus on the technology. And that's not to say that there isn't still those certain old school tactics and those certain elements that used to exist. But with the advent of these new technologies, there is definitely an increased focus on what we can get out of signals intelligence and what we can get out of technology as a whole in the intelligence community.
What changes should be implemented in order to remove any negative aspects that have been explored through the speeding up of intelligence?
I think one of the main things that the intelligence community can do in order to sort of mitigate these problems is to just identify that it's a problem. I think a lot of the time technologies are adopted without realizing what they could actually do to the intelligence cycle as a whole. I think that's partially been the case in terms of 21st century technologies, where mass data collection, for example, is something that we never could have grasped the scope of what really is going on until things started to come out from the Snowden revelations and beyond that. And I think even the intelligence community itself didn't realize how much was going to be there and what was going to be there and how it was going to impact the processes of information as a whole. So I think the most important thing is just addressing that there is an issue, and that while technology has tremendous benefits to the intelligence community and security community as a whole, and can do some really, really amazing things in terms of preventing attacks and preventing all kinds of horrible things from happening, we have to also understand that there is a certain inherent negative consequence that comes with it. And by realizing that that is there, then we can start to make changes in order to mitigate the bad, the negative elements.
What do you think the future of artificial intelligence technology will look like? I know you have extensive experience in cybersecurity. You have completed a degree in this specific area, and I feel like you would be the right person to answer this question.
I don't know if I'd be the right person.
I know you'd be the right person.
I can definitely give my thoughts on artificial intelligence as a whole. The technology itself is really spectacular, what it's capable of potentially doing. And I say potentially because a lot of this technology still hasn't been realized. Some people are saying that it's years away. Some people are saying that it's decades away. But things like lethal autonomous weapon systems, being able to put a machine in the field that could think and act like a person without putting a person in harm's way, is something that could revolutionize the way that warfare takes place. Something in terms of the intelligence side is the ability to have infinite information analyzed at infinite speed. So having an artificial intelligence who could analyze all the different elements of all those algorithms, all those words, all those emails, all those phone calls that are pulled out by these mass data collection operations, and having an artificial intelligence that could theoretically analyze all that data in an instant and make the same kinds of connections that people could make, that analysts could make. And that's one of the major downsides of these types of technological innovations currently, is that we lose that human element, that ability to make connections and draw conclusions, because a mathematical algorithm can only do so much. So I don't know nearly enough about the artificial intelligence technology, the technical side, but I can talk about the larger implications of what, if those abilities come to fruition, it could mean for industries like the intelligence community. And so I think that those are sort of the larger implications, and sort of twofold. You know, you have a sort of active, autonomous thinking robots in the field, and then a sort of more passive one in terms of analytics. Whether or not that will ever happen remains to be seen, but it is a very exciting time, and it's something that's gaining international attention. It's gaining very famous scientists are discussing it, are talking about it. Stephen Hawking, Elon Musk published an article about it. So it's something that's going to be very, very interesting to see where it goes and what happens with it. And experts are saying it's years away, might be decades away. But when it eventually arrives, it'll be very, very interesting to see what happens.